Hey, Spencer, have you heard of Lisa Lampanelli?
Oh, you're talking about the Queen of Mean, right?
Yeah, but she's also become the Queen of Lean. Did you know that? She has a play called Stuffed, where she delivers brash, skinny insight from the fridge to your ears.
No.
I don't think that's what happens in the play.
I've actually heard reviews for the New York Times that have said Stuffed offers laughs, genuine pain, and even a bit of insight. So, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Why? Is that relevant to anything?
Well, Lisa Lampanelli, she's got a lot of street cred, and she's also got a new Feral Audio podcast where she and her co-host Mike Morse talk about health, food, body image, everything else to help you be the best you can be. That's a real hairpin turn for the Queen of Mean. She's stopped stomping on political sensitivities long enough to help you self-actualize and get engage in some self-care.
So what? She dishes out some tough love as she takes your questions about being fat, being skinny, being anything but right, and helps you grab a little self-acceptance? I mean, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, but there's other stuff too. Like if you want to get yelled at by Lisa, you can email getstuffed@feralaudio.com and maybe she'll make you feel like a piece of shit on the podcast, or maybe she'll make you feel better. You don't know with Lisa Lampanelli. She's the Queen of Mean and Lean. give her hotline a ring, 347-464-2654, and you might end up in the show that way too. But in either case, it's worth a listen. It's free. I think it's very interesting that she's like had some transformative nutritional experience that she and now is doing insights. Because what's interesting about the idea of Lisa Lampanelli talking about body image and stuff is that we already know that she doesn't give a shit about your feelings. So and what we probably need to do more of when we're talking about health issues and stuff is actually have some frank conversations. We're a very fat country, very diabetic country, very deluded, vain. Self-loathing, shallow country. What do we need to do to actually be healthy? I would trust the Queen of Mean turned Queen of Lean to tell me that. Yeah, so make sure you subscribe to Get Stuffed.
Get Stuffed. Kick the craving. Subscribe to Get Stuffed on iTunes, Stitcher, feralaudio.com/getstuffed, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Today's episode is brought to you by Last Rampage, the new true crime film starring Robert Patrick, Heather Graham, and Bruce Davison. And we had the pleasure of speaking to someone involved with the movie.
Hi, my name is Heather Graham, and I'm playing Dorothy Tyson in the movie The Last Rampage. The Last Rampage is a true story about Gary Tyson and how his sons broke him out of prison. And it's a very dark story, and Gary Tyson is not a good guy. I play his wife. And I'm super loyal and devoted to him, even though he's pretty much the worst person in the world. One thing I think is interesting about the movie is a lot of these movies, they tell a story about like, oh, this rebellious guy who was this cool gunslinger. And, you know, he did it all these wrong things, but he did it for the right reason. And I think this story sort of turns that story on its head because it's got, at first you think he's a cool guy, but then you're like, no, this guy is just like a selfish, self-centered, narcissistic jerk. I like stories about real people. I think sometimes real life is stranger than fiction. Some of the stuff that happens, you just go, I can't believe this is real, but it's real. And then if you do more research, it's even stranger than the stuff they put in the script. It's just like, sometimes real life is stranger than fiction.
Don't miss Last Rampage, the true story of the prison break of Gary Tyson. In theaters and available on iTunes and all on-demand platforms today. For more information, visit truecrimelive.com or follow the movie on Twitter @LastRampageFilm or on Facebook.com/LastRampageFilm.
Atlanta, Georgia, how are you all? I hope you're well. I know I am. Oh, you did it. You came to the right place, ladies and gentlemen. Please, Harmontown is now in session. Put your hands together for the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
Thank you. Thank you. bless you. God bless your railroads. God bless your airlines. God bless Coca-Cola. God bless AT&T Mobility. We are in what's called an alpha city, Jeff. We are in a center of world commerce, Atlanta, Georgia. This is a gigantic, like, global. It's been the nexus of American civilization and beyond. I'm not being. It sounds like I'm being sarcastic, doesn't it? If I were from here and someone started saying that, I go, "What's this? A setup for, like, he's gonna take a piss on our faces?" No, I've been Wikipediaing you today. As I do each city we go through, I do a little bit of research, and I was stricken by the history and the fucking human pain and triumph. It's not funny. You should laugh. We're in a comedy club. I'm happy I say something that makes you laugh. But truly, like, it's a beautiful, beautiful. It's the most historical city in the country. I'm going to say that right now. I'm not an expert.
What are you basing that on?
Well, you know, you'd have to go, like, well, what about Virginia, Dan? What about Washington, D.C.? Fuck politicians. This is a. The politics is not history. History is blood and humanity. Atlanta. Like, out of any city we'll be to on this tour, maybe out of any city in the country, certainly paid the price for the Civil War conflict. Like, just sat here and got destroyed. Like was just in the crossfire because it was at the center of all these railroads. It was a strategic location for military operations. So, you know, this guy, General Sherman, sounds like kind of a dick move. Just because it was on its way to Savannah, right? Just decided Atlanta should be burnt literally to the ground, every scrap of it, except for hospitals and churches, quote Wikipedia, so that everyone can sit and go, "Dear God," heal my leg. My house is gone and everything. But it goes beyond that because that's like, and I think this is really, really, really interesting. Like I don't know where we'll go, and I'm not a historian, certainly not a Civil War historian. But just reading about that, I'm going, okay, so I bet this place got it the worst out of that whole conflict. I bet the suffering was the worst here. Like, the biggest battles took place around here. The crossfire was the worst here. The place was burnt to the ground by what's that?
Kennesaw Mountain.
Is this a rival for who got it worse? Or is that like a wounded knee, like, of Atlanta thing? Okay, well, you know what? Yes, thank you. I'm not...
Ken Burns, everybody.
Ken Burns is here.
Fucking amazing.
Hey, I don't come to where you animate photos and tell you which keyframes to set. I'm not discouraging you calling something out. I'm just making sure you're maybe agreeing with me or disagreeing with me. If you're disagreeing with me, shut up for a second. Okay, but if you're agreeing with me, hallelujah. The thing I was stricken by reading about it was, okay, so the place was just razed by this horrible bloody conflict, and then the first to bounce back, like, gigantically, and just became like the center of commerce again. It's like constantly being punished for being this nexus of civilization, and then also because it is a nexus of civilization, like, not having the option of being, you know, fucked up. Like, you look at, like, Flint, Michigan, and you go, oh, shit, we had an auto plant here, and then it closed down. That's why you're being raped right now. We're in a city that was ordered burnt down by a federal empire and then popped right back up again in like a game of whack-a-mole and became not only a commercial empire but also like at the forefront of the new South of progression. And they coined this phrase. I don't know where it came from. It was your Willie B. Hartsfield. What was that his name? It was your mayor from the 40s to the 60s to the 50s when all that shit was going down. Atlanta was this like pocket of fuck this shit, like let's make some money and build our houses and like do this stuff. And the phrase too busy to hate got adopted. That's like sort of a slogan here. I don't know if it's how much bullshit it is, but I caught my breath a little bit when I read that. Too busy to hate. Too busy to hate. They got too much shit to do. There's too much reality happening here for them to engage in the idea that if you're a black person or a white person or if you know whatever you're wherever you're leaning, there's too much shit to get done. Too many railroads happening. Too many planes coming in. They got places to go. Too much cargo to offload. You know, too much coke to make. Too much AT&T to mobilize. And now they're also a media empire as well. There's a lot of stuff being shot here. There's no White House here, and there's no. But it's the cleavage of our country. It's just down deep. Just take a Sharpie pen and put it right in there.
You mean like the Rockies and the Appalachians would be like the titties?
Yeah, I didn't think that hard about it. I was just trying to think of what it is. I didn't want to say vagina because that's it's the womb. It's a deep, dark, painful, joyful, creative.
You were really busy.
Vessel.
You were really busy on the internet in that bus ride today, man.
No, it's just the hotel lobby. I went down, I had a Kettle One, and I pulled up Wikipedia. I said, what is Atlanta? And I'm in love. We were in Texas. You probably heard me blowing them when we passed through. But I'm not. I didn't say, oh, Texas is great for any reasons. I'd say Atlanta's great. Like Texas. And I also didn't give a shit about Austin. I was like, Texas, we're in Texas. Let's talk about my infatuation with Texas as this.
And the cool
republic.
Thing is, we get to spend some time here. Actually, we were doing an early show because we have to get out of here because Bob Goldthwait's coming in, and then
who is awesome.
But we actually get to spend the evening and the night here and not have to get up. I'm not get on the bus at the crack of dawn or at 4 a.m. or whatever. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I probably have to write some scripts, though. I think Fox and CBS.
Do you have to write while you're on the road?
I have to write right now. I have to. Yeah, I should have a laptop out and going, fade in. Natalie's, she's hot, but she's smart.
I'm feeling very vulnerable over here because in the club tonight, I normally have a little iPad. I have a little iPad, and I play music, and I put rap beats on so Dan can rap about fucking your mama. And believe me, it's going to happen tonight. It's just, as sure as the South will rise again.
No mama will be unfucked in this country.
And frankly, he will not give a damn. My iPad is up there in the booth, and Dustin Marshall, our podcast recorder, I'm going to have to call out audibles like a sideline coach, and go like, beat number two. So you're
accustomed to a little more control. And I'm traveling with Jeff and I'm getting to know him. I've been friends with him for over 10 years. You know, we've never been through this experience together. And I really noticed a tangible difference today because I got off the bus and I went to my hotel room. Like Jeff, he can't wear this suit all the time. Like there are moments when he's like wearing just a sweater, but he just looks like this. And those are his vulnerable moments. This is how he sleeps, wearing what I'm wearing. For the podcast listeners, I'm dressed like Jerry Mathers in 1990, like when they were maybe doing fucking around with a new Leave It to Beaver show. I'm like a J. Crew kind of casual.
I don't know that I've ever seen you in that.
This is how Jeff cuts his vegetables, dressed like me, and sleeps. And so we rolled into town, and Jeff was wearing his little sweater, and he's like we came to the venue to do the sound check, and I know this look in his eye. He's like, he's just focused, and then he like, opens the door, and he's just walking around. I was like, Jeff's being snooty. Like, no one get in his way. Let him. What's happening? Not snooty because I don't think anyone interacted with you. I cut you a wide path when I see a certain look on your face. And
it's a good idea.
And I was like, I think what is it? And then I figured out, oh, he's not in his suit. He needs to go back and get in a suit. Here's a sound check and all
that. I
needed
to shave. I'm of the feeling that like Frank Sinatra, he had rules that when you go on stage, you shave and you wear a suit. So I'm
the opposite. We rolled into the hotel and I was like, I'm gonna go have a drink and then we'll go to the venue. And Aaron said, you have to change your clothes. You you stink. You look gross. Your pants are from a different era of body weight. You look like you have a load in your pants. I go, you brought all this nice clothes, just change. And I said, I want to have a drink. And I actually really said, and I wasn't being ironic, I said, do you understand that I'm a baby? And she went, yes, I do. I'm changing you. And she made me put on this seafoam sweater and these navy blue pants, and I feel great and all this stuff. But meanwhile, in a different hotel room, you're going, my clothes give me my power. So we're opposites there. I would have come out here in a diaper, and I would have just pooped. And if no one else had said anything, I wouldn't have known it was a bad thing.
Yeah, it's obviously there's a live crowd, but for a podcast, I'm surprised you didn't just come out in a bathrobe, because like, should. You used to show up at Paramount for Community in a bathrobe, didn't you, or pajamas?
Yeah.
You used to show up at work in pajamas, like you were like one of those, who was it, the crazy brothers that made The Matrix, and the guy started just dressing like a crazy, yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of like a lazy, non-gender Wachowski brother. I'm just looking at my Evernote notepad here. My armpit smelled worse in Louisiana. I wanted you guys to know that. I don't know if that's to your credit. But I felt like it was. Like, I felt like the humidity level there. Like, I was something. But I don't think I could ever live in anywhere in Louisiana.
Yeah, I caught a little bit of that walking past you, and it was
weird.
It was like a Coachella Burning Man kind of like.
It's got to be a humidity thing. Like, there's certain chemicals in my armpits that don't evaporate in Louisiana quick enough, so you're getting a certain combination there. That drug enforcement checkpoint. What the fuck? This is a crazy. Where were we driving from? Texas to Louisiana? And there was this sign that said, drug enforcement checkpoint, half mile. So everyone freaks out because, shocker, we've got weed in the bus. There's a reason we're not flying. Like, if we wanted to have to deal, what the fuck? Fucking America, for God's sake. By the way, the irony is I haven't smoked any yet, but I'm just like, I'm going on a tour bus. I'm taking my weed that I have a prescription for. I get a lot of anxiety, and I live in the great state of California. And and if you're out there and you want to ruin our life, go ahead and follow us and pull us over and ruin our life. There's a drug enforcement checkpoint. Oh, what's that? We go and zip the pockets and rezip them. And what are we supposed to do? All right, everyone hold your weed and wait until there's flashing lights, and then we'll all flush it together and all this stuff. And then nothing happens, and nothing keeps happening. And somebody gets on the internet and looks it up. They put these signs up. They're like tricks. And because obviously nothing could be more unconstitutional than a drug enforcement checkpoint. But they put the signs up, and anyone who gets off on the next exit, they follow.
they're watching, hipster profiling.
Like they figured out a new way to detect.
I think they're looking for people that are ditching stuff out the window. I feel like that's just maybe some enterprising drug addict who just put that sign up. his buddy's like, need it, got it.
Yeah. Well, I stayed in a handicapped room in Louisiana. This was weird. If there's physically challenged people,
those walls were thin. We keep getting adjacent rooms, and I keep learning like a little bit about your like, you know, diurnal patterns and things like that. Dan and Aaron checked in right next to me, and the wall was razor thin, tissue paper thin. And the first thing I hear them doing is Dan's going, nee, 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 nee. I'm like, and we opened up a little doors. We had the doors that open up. I'm like, are you singing Jurassic Park in there?
Yeah, because it feels like when you get off a tour bus, you're like, you know, it's very constrictive, and like you say, everywhere you go, like there doesn't need to be dinosaurs there for it to feel majestic, you know. I'm in Louisiana. It's great. There's a bandana for sale in the gift shop. I can feel alive and free. I don't know. I feel John Williamsy when I get off of a vehicle. I feel like I'm looking at a brontosaurus. Handicap. It said handicap room, and then there was a button. I don't know. I hope there's somebody in the room that is physically. I don't know what the latest phrase is, but physically challenged that knows what it means when you have a handicap room, and there's a doorbell button outside the hotel room, and it says press and hold for 5 seconds. What happens then? Can handicap people just rob me? if they don't need a key, they're not that special. They don't get to just rob
me. Was there like a handrail in your shower or their special?
No, there was nothing. The only thing, and this is on them, not me. I the air conditioner didn't work. So the joke becomes obvious, like, oh, it's a handicap room. That's not my fault that they did that. This guy's getting up to leave because
he's walking at least.
Well. He's walking to his crutches, and he's going to throw one at me. Obviously, I'm nothing but an advocate of anyone that wants to feel special about anything.
Hey guys, it's Spencer. I'm here to issue a formal apology and talk to you about MeUndies. You see, recently we were in Oklahoma for a show, and at the end of the show, Dan took all his clothes off, ran around like a fool trying to get attention. It was a lot of fun. Everyone loved it. They loved it so much, I was jealous. I wanted to get some attention for myself. I took off all my clothes, ran around too, but I crashed into a table, spilled McDrinks all over myself. And I just want to tell you that you don't have to have all your underwear disintegrate off of you like I did. You can use MeUndies and elevate your underwear game to the next level. What is MeUndies? Oh, just some seriously soft, feel-good undies delivered right to your door that won't disintegrate when you crash into a table of drinks. MeUndies are designed in LA and made from sustainably sourced micro-modal, a fabric 3 times softer than cotton and 3 times less disintegratable. MeUndies softer than soft luxe undies come in an ever-changing selection of classic colors, bold shades, and adventurous patterns, so you can tailor your undies to your own personal style, even if your style is crashing into beverages or just swimming in your own pants. And guess what? You can save time and money each month with a monthly subscription. And you save a lot of money by not getting arrested for public indecency. And if you're not ready for a subscription, that's okay. You can still save because MeUndies is offering you 20% off your first pair. Just use our special URL, MeUndies.com/Harmontown, and get 20% off your first pair. So go ahead, floodproof your underwear drawer. You deserve it. Once again, that's MeUndies.com/Harmontown. MeUndies.com/Harmontown. That's MeUndies.com/Harmontown.
Anything.
Should we bring Spencer up here?
Let's get Spencer up because we're our time. We gotta do a bullet train Harmontown.
For those
show
of you who do not know Spencer, he's our Dungeon Master Extraordinaire. Welcome, Dungeon Master Spencer. He has his own musical theme.
How's it going? Oh, Mike, how's it going?
We can't get a mic stand for Spencer. He's got to roll dice and shit.
I don't need a mic stand.
Oh, he can use mine. I'll go El Fresco.
I guess I need a mic stand.
So Spencer, how have you been enjoying your trip so far?
I've been enjoying my trip so far.
It's a good dungeon master.
He's very good.
Yeah. I doubt there's anyone here who doesn't listen to the podcast, but I don't think there's anything we can do to make you enjoy the show if you've stumbled in here going, I want to see some comedy. But just to refresh you, Spencer is our dungeon master from. We asked if there was a dungeon master in the audience in Los Angeles. His hand shot up, and a friendship was born. And now he's on the tour bus with us, and we're learning all kinds of things about him. And the other shoe's not dropping. You keep waiting to find out that he, you know, always like hangs his underwear on his.
I'm a little worried because I sleep like a beautiful little angel baby on those tour buses, and I think everyone else has too. But every time I come out to the front area, you're wide awake. You're having trouble sleeping on that bus.
Yeah, and every time you're sleeping, I'm just standing there.
A lot of the documentary footage is going to be night vision of you. Just a Spencer cam.
Sleep. That's right, Jeff. We had a lovely little moment that was documented, I believe, in some sort of video footage and some pictures where he taught me how to play. He actually took me through my character sheet, which I've never really bothered to learn about. And for his treble, I taught him a few chords on the ukulele.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. It's great what's happening. Aww, it's great. It's a lot like the city of Atlanta, this relationship. It just keeps building itself up and then randomly being burnt down by things. Did I tell you, Jeff, that again in 1917, Atlanta was just caught fire just out of sense memory? It's just a sad city that just... We should be burnt. And they just burnt to the ground again. And they built it up again.
What were the circumstances of that?
Someone dropped a match.
What happened?
I only know about Kennesaw Mountain.
All right.
That's it. We should journey there. Also, here's the most progressive thing about Atlanta. Their first race riot, 1906. Now that's thinking ahead.
Yeah.
That's way before
it was cool.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't even need to have a race riot back then. It was like you could just have races and just being oppressed and stuff. And they had a full blown riot in 1906. Like a bunch of people died. This is a future city. They're always looking down the road.
I think it's the longest you've gone on a Harmontown show without fucking somebody's mother. I don't want to force it, but...
Sherman's mother.
Fuck. General Sherman's mic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dan, we have a couple new beats. Dustin, so you what? You what? Oh, good.
Know the chorus?
What's your name?
Deanna.
Okay, we'll bring you up in a bit, right. Deanna. Oh, yeah, that's a very fantastic.
No, let's bring her up now because we got to do a Reader's Digest. Shouldn't we?
Take this.
Just grab this. I could just. She could share my mic. Okay.
I'm finding all kinds of shit backstage.
All right. He just brings out a giant banana. It's a pencil. This is a great room, by the way. I'm sure some of you come here all the time. This is obviously like a comedy mecca.
Yeah, it's cool. I like it a lot.
It's really cool.
People seem very proud of being here. Like, a lot of cities do. Austin's very proud of being Austin, but like people I know that are from Atlanta, like they're really proud to be from here. They should be.
On paper, it's not. I haven't walked around and touched any of the fountains, but. From what I've read, they should be.
All right, Dustin, pick one of the new... We got two new beats for you. Jesus Christ. Yeah, you're going to need the handicap room. Yeah.
Do you like that one? Well, it doesn't... All right, well, this is just a warm-up. We won't use Deanna yet.
No, this is fucking Sherman's mama.
Oh, okay.
Do you like that beat? Do you want to hear the other one, too?
I don't know. Well, I don't like General Sherman, so let's give him a shitty beat. Yo. Yo, 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 yo. I'm General Sherman from the Union Army. My butt is full of peanut butter, it's swarmy. I don't like my mom, I fuck her. I'm a big doo-doo head, I'm an asshole. I belong to a machine, an empire that does what it pleases to me. It's stupid, I'm trying to get historical, but I'm General Sherman, I'm retarded cold.
Wait, I thought
General Sherman wrote that rap badly. He doesn't know what he's doing. He just burns shit down when it's in the way. He's an asshole.
So that wasn't you fucking Sherman's mom. That wasn't
me fucking up a rap either. I did that artistically. Like that was a meta commentary on what Sherman's rap would be like. It would be a disaster. It would be uncoordinated and brutal, and the word retarded would be in it, because he's an insensitive fucking like lout, like decking himself in medals that he didn't earn.
He got a butt full of peanut butter.
He's swarmy.
Swarmy.
I assume there's like ants are coming because of the peanut butter. I don't know. All I know is fuck you, General Sherman. Where was he from? Is it a town we're going to on the tour?
Actually, I don't know. Ken Burns?
He's from Pittsburgh.
Huh? What? Does anyone know where?
Where's Sherman from?
Oh, who cares?
Yeah. Right. We just know he's not from Chute's Tooth Mountain. Kennesaw Mountain.
Kennesaw.
Tennesaw?
Kennesaw.
It's right on the Tennessee-Arkansas border. What is it? Kennesaw? Kennesaw. What happened there? What happened?
It was just a great battle between... It was one of the few battles that the South actually won because we were up on a mountain.
Oh. And you just like kept rolling rocks and the bullets were faster because it was downhill.
You guys should have just stayed on the mountain.
Well, we tried. But he had to go around Marietta and Kennesaw Mountain because they could not take the mountain.
I bet, yeah. See, like, I'm from Los Angeles. Like, we didn't get a whole lot of Civil War history stuff in our city.
No, it's just like, Frank Sinatra date raped someone there. This is the battle of the four-door sedan. She wanted to get out. She kept saying no, but not quite no. And then back then, it didn't work. And it's like, you know, and then Sammy said something, but then... yeah, not a lot of history there. Just a lot of Disney places where Disney ate. Edit it out. All right. Where were we? Okay. What are we looking at time wise? We're gonna
4:36.
5:36.
5:36.
He's not the time master.
6:36.
Spencer, could you be the voice of the skeleton crotch above me? Every time I go to the skeleton crotch. For those of you listening in podcast land, there's a one of the cool things about the room is that there is a full human skeleton poised the crow style above my head with its pelvis directly above my scalp.
About to take a calcified shit all over you.
What do you think about tonight's gig, skeleton crotch?
You look like you're dying, and I'm dead.
I'm getting heckled by the skeleton crotch.
He's jealous of your flesh.
Yeah, it's 5:37.
All right. So, anything else to talk about that I haven't already looked up on my phone? We got our angry bus driver. We got the drug enforcement. We got my armpit smelling worse in Louisiana.
We have to get our bus driver on the stage at some point because
I want to start like creating a constitution for Harmontown. There's a discussion of this on the Harmontown forum, but I think that it has to be based on the rule that everybody gets to do whatever they want, which I think is kind of it could theoretically end there, because the only exception to that would be if you doing whatever you want gets in the way of someone else doing whatever they want. So, for instance, if I want to punch you in the face, but you don't want to get punched in the face, then we have a complication there. So then that's where my brain kind of locks up, because I'm not a politician and I don't really.
Fight to the death?
Just anytime there's a conflict.
Tina Turner from Thunderdome is in the back of the room.
But if he didn't want to get punched in the face, then all I have to do is come up to him, punch him in the face, and then he goes, "I didn't want that." And I go, "Well, fight to the death." That doesn't seem like a nerd's paradise. That seems like my middle school. That seems like exactly how that worked. There has to be some kind of, we'll figure it out. I don't know. We don't have to figure it out here in Atlanta, although I can't think of a better place to figure it out. This is a society that, like, we were in a place called Phoenix, but this is literally a Phoenix, not a literally. This is truly, like, if there was a city that should be called Phoenix, come on, it keeps burning down and they keep, like, you know.
Yeah, so you guys, last time was 1907? Or 17?
17.
So you guys are due.
Overdue. You guys are late. You're late on a burn down. Not funny to them. Not funny to them. A lot of their grandparents died.
The Sherman thing is still pretty fresh too. And I guess that's a pretty. It's an open wound here.
Well, generations
removed. Yeah. And also, I mean, it's like the Civil War. It's like, well, if you're like, I'm sure there's a lot of like complicated feelings about it, because if you live down this way. Way down south of the Chattahoochee, it gets politically hotter than a hoochie coochie.
Rap beat number two. Southern rap.
Yes. It's a hotbed of political intrigue. I fucked your mama like her name was Cheryl Teagues. I fucked her in a bed on TV. I fucked your mama with the base of my knee. I went like this. I went like that. I just put on my coat. I tipped my hat. I said, "Madam, Southern hospitality. That fucked your mama. That's reality." I walked out the door. Said, "Fuck it." I fucked your mama. Put her in a bucket. Took the bucket. Threw it to the moon, said, "So long, bitch, maybe I'll see you soon." Then I went back up there and saw her again. Fucked your mama 8 times, then fucked her 10. I talked, Atlanta, Atlanta. I fucked your mama, glass of Fanta, Coca-Cola, AT&T, Oh, railroad town, race riots, railroad town, Home Depot, Home Depot, Home Depot, Home Depot, Home Depot, Delta Airlines, Delta Airlines, UPS, a UPS. I'm not rhyming, I'm just... Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I have to, I mean,
I've never been prouder.
Not only is that just good stuff, is that just top grade entertainment, what you just did right there. I just have to put myself in the shoes of somebody that's only heard this on the podcast and not having seen you do it in a little seafoam green sweater and your little J. Crew pants. Do your little bit toddler dance. That's not gonna... You really are a baby.
Yeah. I really
you sing
am.
About peepees and poo-poos. And
and my desire to fuck your mama is really just a desire to get back inside the womb.
That's the last thing you did, so was be inside a pussy. Yes. Yeah.
But that's what humanity is trying to do. That's you saw 2001. It ends with the, you know.
I never got that. Although I saw it when I was
it's like man is nine. Evolving, you know. Then we create robots. Robots turn on us, but then we become something different. We become a space baby. The monolith represents the like kind of like plot points of civilization, you know, humanity. Like the apes are, they touch it and then one of them figures out, oh, I can use this femur bone to beat another ape. And then it throws it in the air and it becomes a space station because everything that happened in between is meaningless. It's all just beating each other with femur bones. And then we're on the space station. That's as far as we get. And then machines gain sentience and start murdering with their femur bone, i.e. airlock doors. And we move on and we become you know, it's a thankless job being sentient. It continues. I'm getting applause from
Kennesaw Mountain guy.
Yeah, Kennesaw Mountain guy.
Ken Burns signed off on that synopsis.
He loves Kubrick.
He loves Kubrick. So you like Kennesaw and Kubrick.
Kennesaw and Kubrick and a flip flop margarita. I'm Jimmy Buffett hanging out. Pleased to meet you, Senorita.
What do you think about Jimmy Buffett?
I know.
Yeah, he makes my fucking skin crawl.
I know his flip flops are too fragile.
Yeah, because he stepped on a pop top.
Yeah, if you can't step on a pop top without blowing out a flip flop, you're an asshole. You gotta get better flip flops and don't burden the listener.
I've got a problem about the plot point of that the big crisis is that he's lost a salt shaker because they're everywhere. You can get salt.
He's lazy. He's hanging out.
This isn't ancient Greece. You have to carry Brian in a sack.
It was the 70s. We were hanging out, right?
Yeah. He blows. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
I don't think you're gonna find a lot of people sticking up for Jimmy Buffett.
They do.
I think the only voice you'll hear sticking up for Jimmy Buffett is like a laminated menu at like a. Like it won't be a human being. It'll just be a menu. Like it'll, you know. Yeah. A bit like a fictional guy named like MJ McFunninhan.
Do you think we could use our country riff to see if you could try to outdo a Jimmy Buffett lyric just off the top of your head?
And you know, I can do anything here. I'm in Atlanta. This is the city that invented rebirth. Well, I'm proud to be from a city where your mama has big titties. Sorry. I can't say city and then. I'm sorry. Oh, let's start it one more time. I'm gonna do a song about the history of Atlanta.
He's taking out his giant phone.
Well, choo-choo railroad town. Atlanta's going down in the heart of the South where the freight trains come through. And I'll tell you one thing, brother. I'd rather have another Northern Army come on through. Did I rhyme through with through?
Maybe, yeah.
I can't rhyme. That was too, rhyme scheme was all fucked up.
I take back the Jimmy Buffett comments.
I'm not a country guy. And I don't think Jimmy Buffett is either. And we're wasting their time. And Bobcat Goldthwait is outside the door going like, I don't understand. I have to do a mic check.
Deanna, was it?
Yes, sir.
You want to come join us on stage? Yeah. That's Deanna.
Rubbermaid! That's Lou on the list. That's another corporate headquarters that's, yeah, Rubbermaid. Fuck Nike. Well, is Nike here? Is Nike? Oh, Adidas. Adult Swim's here. My friends from Adult Swim. My good friend Ted Turner, who I hang out with all the time, started a media empire here.
And the Homestar Runner guys are here, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah, the Chapman brothers. Do you guys...
Hello, Deanna. Do you have a microphone? Spencer, will you share?
Thank you, Spencer.
Yep.
Well, now we're done.
Yeah, right by him.
Yeah, cuddle up with Spencer over there, Deanna.
So what do you say? We practice one and then we play a little D&D.
For those of you who haven't been listening, we've been podcasting daily and we've kind of put a little theme song together that we're, you know, kind of, you know,
we're building it.
It's growing as we go from town to town.
We have a chorus that's, come on down to Harmontown.
Turn your frown upside down.
Pee is yellow, poop is brown. Come on down.
Yeah, Dustin, would you play it for us? So we'll get one out of the way that way because we need it.
And then we'll play a little D&D and then we'll...
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's happening, Spencer. It's happening.
Deanna, you're
going to wake up tonight with a night vision Spencer looming over your bed. All right, take it away, Deanna. Let's see what you know here. See if you got it.
Come on down to Harmontown. Turn that frown upside down. Pee is yellow, poop is brown. So come on down to Harmontown.
Yo. Placeholder rap. I'm just practicing this. Doesn't matter if it's crap. I'm usually a high quality rapper. I do all kinds of things. You wouldn't believe it. Rapper. I'm rapping some more. More placeholders. It doesn't matter what I do. Just rapping. I'll do a good one later. Phoning it in because cueing you.
Come on down to Harmontown.
Sing along even though you're in that frown upside down.
He is yellow, poop is brown. So come on down to Harmontown.
Okay, all right. We got that. Cool. So we're good. That's Deanna, everybody.
All right.
Fantastic. So far, we found a sexy young lady every city to come up and be our Dido to our ersatz Eminem.
All right. Anybody? Is there anybody that got overlooked? Because we have room on one mic for probably two vocal champions.
Is it a guy? Yeah, wait.
He's pointing at his girlfriend.
Yeah. Oh, right. come on stage. Get up here. What's your name? Jackie? Are you drunk? You almost took a spill there.
That's a tough stare.
Oh, you got crazy Herman Munsters on.
Don't lash out.
I was worried.
People had their city burnt twice.
Yeah, because everyone's fucked up.
It's been hard for me.
Yeah. Oh, I was like, Jackie, was it?
Yeah.
Hello, Jackie. Nice to have you here.
Right.
Jackie, what's your deal?
Mike's like...
Jackie, are you born and raised in Atlanta?
I am.
You were an am. And what do you do?
I'm a musician.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you play?
Piano.
Okay. Oh God, it'd be awesome to have a piano on stage.
Well, everywhere we go, our crowd is much more intelligent and creative than your average, Bobby Lee crowd, I would say. And so we do want to say, if you're listening in Nashville when we come there, hey, bring your guitar, bring your bugle.
Bring an upright piano.
Bring your little electronic piano. Let's have a drum circle in Nashville. All right, so now we brought her all the way up from the back. We still have to play D&D.
Yeah. Well, maybe they can, Spencer, can we have a Greek chorus in this somehow maybe? Or is it hard to edit?
Yeah.
All right, now I'll do the awkward thing. What was your name?
Jackie.
Okay, Jackie. When we finish playing D&D, can you come back up and could you and Deanna like just relax and have an Atlanta gimlet? I'm saying sit down. I'm sorry. So that you're not standing up here when we're playing D&D. We're making up the show as we go.
Yeah. So yes.
Thank you, Jackie and Deanna. We'll bring you up.
We'll
in
bring
a
you back up and yeah. Well, okay.
Careful. What we lack in coordination, we make up for in spirit.
Yeah.
Right?
And courtesy. Yeah. You're very polite about that.
All right,
Spencer, if you would, keep us up to date on where we are in our campaign.
When we last met, our heroes had just finished destroying a grip of constructs in what they discovered to be a long-destroyed ruins of a town. Mulrain was out of sorts and excused himself. It was just then that Sharpie tripped over an old charred book. Within the covers of the book, Mulrain's dark past opened before them. Once a female and a mother of five, the Arranger awoke to discover her children perish in a blaze. Her mind broken, she sought out a new identity. Happening upon a cursed belt of gender switching, the grief-stricken Mulrain took on a new, more masculine role and buried his past with his children. Needless to say, Sharpie and Quirk were a bit surprised, but being victims of xenophobia as well, decided to accept their strange friend's stranger past. The group headed west towards the barbarian encampment, hoping that Mango's barbarians could hold up against the Dark's fleet.
All right, yeah. Because of the limited microphones, we should have Erin McGathy come up and play her character really quickly and then make up a reason to leave. Is Erin here?
Erin? Come on, Erin McGathy. Oh.
Erin is selling merchandise. She made she didn't knit them or anything. Had all the t-shirts. She's been the merchandise czar for the whole thing, and is like merchandise maven. Share a mic with me.
Sure. I'll probably be out there afterwards.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Even though it's illegal. So if you're a cop or your friend is a cop, like try to give us 20 minutes, because if you buy something, we'll sign it out there, like out those doors, and you can buy shit out there too. But we're kind of cramped here, and we're trying to do everything we can for everyone. Just don't burn your city anymore. Just calm down. All right, so
so we're heading west toward the Butchlot encampment.
Headed west. Yes.
How long a journey is this?
Who knows? Perhaps days, perhaps hours, perhaps, you know, a certain amount of time. Other than that,
I say we move as quickly as possible because your father's in danger, Sharpie.
That reminds me, gentlemen, I have something to do in a different area. I may be trying to find a belt to turn me back into a woman, because I did reveal in our last installment that I might have feelings for Sharpie. I'm embarrassed. Please try to forget what I said, but I must depart.
So you're a man and you want to turn into a woman so you can be with your the guy that you love.
Ha ha! Adventure.
All right.
Erin McGathy. Wait, we can do that? We can just tell her to leave?
Well, yeah. You know, there's not a lot of mics up here.
Jeff's eyes just lit up. You make your way back through the hilly Butts Expanse. You hurry in the hopes of making it to camp in time. As you get closer, you can hear the screams and shouts of pitched battle. The war cries of barbarians. Sorry. Reaching the crest of a foothill, I can't do both things. You can see Yellow Camp. The grand yellow tent is splattered with blood. A massive pit near the camp seems to be the locus of the warring forces. Corpses of gnolls and humans lie strewn across the ground, and you can see destroyed cylinder constructs, ripped to shreds and lying in piles of metal cylinders. You can see a massive line of at least 60 cylinders pushing back the barbarians towards the rim of this massive pit. You recall this excavation site from before when they discussed they were digging for something.
Man.
Yeah, that's a throwback. So there's a bunch of those cylinders that we fought, and they're pushing the barbarians towards the pit.
I get so confused.
I know, man.
I get so drunk. So
somebody on Twitter or Instagram told me that maybe my flaming dagger is one of the shards, possibly.
I saw that conversation.
Yeah, have we been neglecting a shard the whole time?
Why don't we just do a quick check?
Shard check!
No such thing as that.
We take his emerald dagger and hold it near our shards to see if there's some kind of similarity. just to make some guy on Twitter happy.
Like I say, yeah, I recently rented Temple of Doom, and they hold the rocks together, they glow. So we hold our shards together.
Nothing happens.
Shit.
All right. Well, you hear that out there, Twitter guy?
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Fuck you and your theories.
What do you have to say about that guy on Twitter, Skeleton Crotch?
All right. Ghost fart. All right. So
you're looking at a fight.
Yeah, we're looking at a big fight. Then apparently, I mean, it was hard to kill three cylinders, but there's a big line of them now.
Yeah. Do I see my dad?
You don't. You grow worried. You're just standing.
I'm stumped, man.
People are dying.
By the way, if anybody out there is a D&D fan and knows what to do and has any advice, please help us out.
Make a perception check. Ray of Frost.
Was that Ken Burns?
Ken Burns.
Ken Burns Mountain. Mountain. And who's the other one? It's also had a K. Kubrick. Kennesaw, right. Kubrick.
Perception check.
I do a perception check.
In 3-5, that's known as a spot check, but...
Spot check.
You see that the pit, that the cylinders do seem to be pushing towards the pit with purpose. They aren't just fighting, they're looking for something.
Uh-huh. So they're going to the pit. The cylinders want to go into that pit and get whatever the gnolls and the humans were digging for.
Accurate.
Okay. Is it possible to run into the pit around that line of the fight and dig faster, so while the barbarians hold the cylinders off and get what they're looking for?
You can definitely try.
I run towards the pit.
As you charge towards the fight, plumes of jet black smoke plummet to the ground, waylaying you, and they quickly coalesce into physical forms. Two small mounds of yellowed flesh stand before you. The creatures have humanoid heads and scrawny clawed limbs, but lack legs. You recognize these as the very lowest beasts of the pits of hell.
What's this beast called?
You don't know.
Oh.
You just see them sometimes.
Are they blocking my way to the pit?
They're blocking your way. They slither towards you menacingly.
Power attack.
All right. One to three. Pick one. One, two, three.
Three?
Nice. You got a critical hit.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not even going to roll damage. You slice through the Lemur just as easily as it were butter. It dissolves into black smoke.
Thank you.
I interrupt the cosmos to remind you to tip Will, who's serving you back there. Wow, this is nice.
A guy just came up and pouring us booze. This is fantastic.
Thank you,
Will. That'll be all.
The other demon approaches Sharpie. He swings a vicious claw, but you manage to dodge.
Oh, today's my lucky day so far.
Yeah.
Those hellish creatures were created by the cylinders?
You don't know. They just came from the sky.
Is it possible to take my small friend and throw him onto one of the cylinders? Like, maybe you could ride on one and see, like, maybe it'll go back to the
really
cylinder.
Really insensitive, man.
What's your strength?
It says a million now. 9.
Ooh.
But he's small.
You manage to throw him a good 12 feet.
Whoa.
He doesn't land atop a cylinder, but he does hit it in the side. You can try and cling on if you'd like.
I cling to a cylinder.
Jeff, what's your climb check? You know climb on the skills?
Climb on the skills.
We talked about it.
Climb on the skills. Hold up. Climb is I have a 9.
Awesome. Oh, nice. You cling to the cylinder. Riding the cylinder, it goes to the pit.
Oh.
Just now you can ride it back to the cylinder factory and, I don't know, from what I know of movies, like it'll take you to
Why am I riding one of these cylinders?
Because you're just thrown onto one.
we're still friends, right?
You're not so sure anymore.
You know, gnome tossing is considered highly PC.
I'm a little drunk.
Okay.
Sharpie, you can see the largest ship of the fleet floating directly above the pit. The cylindrical constructs float into the air and avoid the barbarians. They spin in a great torrent before descending into the pit. Jeff, you're with these cylinders. You're going into the pit.
Terrific.
As they lift out of the pit, you can see they seem to be floating something. It's a large, dark, humanoid shape. A golem. But larger than any golem you've ever seen. It looks like it can easily level a city such as Atlanta. Flying ship fires off a massive harpoon, striking the golem squarely in the chest. You hear the grinding of gears as the golem is slowly being reeled in by the ship. The cylindrical army starts to drift back towards the ship with Jeff aboard. You can, try and jump off.
Can I grab a cylinder?
Yeah.
You aren't as good as jumping as you are throwing midgets, but let's see. Nah, you can't. Sorry.
I jump off while the getting's good.
All right.
I think you should
You jump
on.
Off a good 30 feet. Let's see if you can tumble.
I don't want to be sucked on the ship with a golem.
That's how you... it's an adventure.
Oh, yeah? Well, you can't, I'm going to leave you behind?
Well, we'll be split up. It's a fun movie. it's like...
A plot and B plot.
Should I stay aboard the thing or should
Whatever
I...
Whatever you want, man.
Stay? All right. I latch onto that cylinder.
It's like Star Wars, man.
Yeah, yeah.
The cylindrical army files into the great ship.
See you later! I hope you knew what you were doing. You're all alone now, hotshot.
I can't text Mulrane, right? That doesn't exist yet. So the cylinders are going up into the ship, and
yeah,
that seems like a good.
This is a cliffhanger moment.
Good spot to stop in a show that has to be kind of. What will happen?
Yeah,
Spencer, your dungeon master.
If I can make a request. I hate to put our fans and followers to work, but I would love to see some artwork about what just happened there with the ship and the golem with the harpoon and me holding onto a big thermos. This is going to a thing.
It's not the first cylinder you've clung to. Gager! Oh! Gager! By the power of homophobia, I have the cheapness! Making fun of people for the way they were born. Kennesaw Mountain like that.
Yeah.
He's very erudite. I picture going back to his apartment and there's a lot of wood shelves and.
He should have rolled initiative and gotten to the battle with the golem.
Hey, angry. Okay. Well, come up here. Get up here. I want some advice for next time.
Let's meet Kennesaw.
Famous documentarian. What is your actual name, sir?
It is Nathaniel Metz.
Nathaniel Metz.
Yes.
I would expect nothing less.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Are you starting to notice a similarity of archetypes from these guys weren't in Phoenix, but he looks a lot like Tyler Dandy.
Yeah, there was a cat. Yeah, there's a kind of like a.
There's like a big. There's an Andy Dick ice tray that.
Whoa.
There's a little.
Wait.
There's a variation, but it's not.
Andy Dick now.
There's a baseline.
You're the more clean cut intellectual Andy Dick.
Oh, thank you. I never was in Biodome with Pauly Shore, right?
Right. No.
Not that we know of. You seem like a very well educated man. Do you have a degree in something?
Well, the guy I work with is a very Civil War buff, but. You pick up a few things.
Yeah.
So you don't have a degree in anything?
No, I dropped out of college.
Yeah? What college did you go to?
I went to the University of Georgia at first, 3 years later. Go Dogs. I transferred to, in Atlanta, Georgia State University. Yeah.
Boo.
The lesser known Panthers.
Oh, shit. I forgot the Falcons had some kind of crazy game out there.
Yeah, they're fucking dead. I wasn't going to bring it up because I don't think of you as a sports fan, and probably most of us.
I am not a sports fan, nor am I.
But that game was insane. It was almost as if it was kind of an Atlanta moment. They were it was all being taken from them, and they rose back up.
We rose like the South, baby.
Yeah.
Is that why the flags say rise up? Yeah. Oh boy! Wow, you guys really hanging on to that shit.
They should. That's great.
I guess I would, too.
I mean, it's... Yeah.
I said earlier on our last one in Austin that my name is Jeff Davis, and so it's a very Southern name, and so I get free stuff from racist store clerks.
I don't know if I believe that story.
It's absolutely true, man. It is absolutely true. And then the cab driver, when I was telling him about the racist guy that gave me the beer, turned off the meter when I said my name, and he wouldn't charge me for it.
But it's such a common name. It might as well be like John Jones or something. And
I wonder how Bobby Lee would do here. That's like Robert E. Lee. I mean, he'd probably do really good.
Yeah, you know, these Funyuns are on me, Bobby Lee. All right, Nathaniel. I always bristle when I meet a Nathaniel because I feel like my name is some kind of working man's Nathaniel.
We're rare, though. You got Nathaniel Hawthorne, and that's about it.
Yeah. It's like an elitist Daniel. I don't.
And you never were a Nate. You were always Nathaniel.
Well, to people you know better, you are Nate because they get tired of the extra two syllables.
What's the most important thing to take away historically from Atlanta? Like what I've made some ham-handed efforts to try to personalize the city in terms of reading about its history in Wikipedia. But you've been here. You have a history buff friend. You have no degree. You dropped out of college. you're not afraid to pop off.
I've heard you're not afraid of politics yourself.
I don't know anything about them, so it's easy to not be afraid of things you don't understand. But I mean, I don't know. Is there anything that I haven't considered about Atlanta that you would like the podcast listeners to know? We're drifting through here, and I don't know. Yeah. What's my point? I don't know.
The most important thing to know about Atlanta is we are an independent people that love our liberty and we love our Southern heritage. No, apparently we have the Yankees, you know, Atlanteans in the house.
What did you say?
Some of us are racist.
So, are you speaking for yourself?
Yeah. Bring her up on stage.
I think there's probably a lot of self-loathing that is required to happen here. So we're probably the most progressive of the... I don't know. It's kind of be complicated. It feels like one of those things you're not even allowed to talk about as a Northerner passing through. It's like you guys like really owned the whole conflict in a way that just it's not you guys. You eat at McDonald's
but, is there a lot of racism still like kind of visible and like around?
No,
really?
No, there are not. Did I see the guy in the sweater vest? There are no racism that I've ever seen in Atlanta. You probably have. No! No!
Well, are you cheering? They're kind of rooting. So there really is like noticeable racism. Like what form does it take? Like, what do you see?
It's against the whites.
It's against the whites?
Thank you!
Oh, boy. So you're saying that what they call that the much maligned reverse racism kind of thing? No. Now this we've torn this audience in pieces.
I don't think that guy was speaking for the. That's what I'm saying. It's complicated. I think there's people that feel obligated to go. Ah, fuck the whole thing. I'm sorry. It's like if you went to some neighborhood in Germany, you know, and you were making jokes about it's like a joke to other people, but then they're like, no, fuck that. Like, God damn it, you don't understand. I was raised taking that shit seriously, and it's like I'm plagued with the scars of it, and on either side,
Nathaniel seems to think that it's completely, it's done. It's all over.
I think the beautiful thing about Atlanta, it's from what I've read, is that you actually can find pockets where you could believe that because I'm telling you, maybe I don't know. Wikipedia was in the business of bullshitting everybody, but
absolutely.
But it was this was the mecca of like the kind of the historical black college movement, like the civil rights kind of like were happening here before they were supposed to be happening all around them. You know, there were people in different places cracking eggs in people's heads because they were sitting at the wrong counter and all this shit. And it was like Atlanta was trying to get its shit together, you know, while trying to maintain its identity. It's got to be a very complicated place to have lived back then. I don't know what my point is. Fart break. I have no idea. What would be interesting would be to sit down and smoke a joint with somebody that lived here and just like hear the whole thing, and then you'd only be getting like 1% of the whole story.
Why don't we all just pick a place?
Let's all go smoke a joint.
I'll go hang out afterwards. We'll get high and we'll talk about race.
Yeah, way to go, Harmontown.
There should be a section of Harmontown when we colonize the moon. There will just be a borough where you can only talk about race. That's how.
Race Town.
It'll just be called the racial historical district, and so all the shops have to have a racial theme. It doesn't. They could be racist. They could be anti-racist. But it's just like everything. And that way, will reduce consciousness of race to like a gimmick. Like so, it'll be like, hey, it's the race parade.
Yeah.
And it'll come through the other. But then you know the other sections will be no, we're too busy to hate, which is all right. So Nathaniel, what the fuck?
No, hey, I only made a scene tonight because I just want. This is Dan fucking Harmon, and I have been paying attention to this man and Jeff Davis for 6 years with laser fart. You don't even deserve to be in this war. I can't tell you how important these two men are to my comedy life.
Yeah, he's not a bad person for loving
you.
Me. Hey. Sometimes you just love me.
Yeah. Hey, I've seen this Dan Harmon talk about how loathsome he is and how fat and obsessive he is about himself.
Which makes me a god and a hero.
Thank you. Yeah. But you are looking more svelte than I've ever seen you. You are a...
Yeah, I'm fat.
No. Yeah. You are a wonderful human being.
Oh, Atlanta.
I have seen, next to myself, this is the most naked man I've ever seen in my life. I have seen his ass. I've seen his pubis and the lynx.
His pubis?
Pubis, that's right. This educated individual has said pubis in Harmontown.
Dan, all right. Dan, show me pubis.
You know, Atlanta used to be called Terminus. That was its first name. It was at the intersection of a bunch of railroads.
The Signal is the film based on
it's Terminus. Kind of like pubis.
I'm going to exit myself.
All right.
Thank you.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's the Atlanta spirit.
Yeah.
That's called Southern hospitality. Yeah,
none of that Adam Goldberg, I'm not leaving kind of shit.
Thank you. Let's thank Nathaniel.
Nathaniel Metz.
Up.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. There's two different ones, but not...
Dan, I feel like we might have missed an opportunity for you and Nathaniel to rap together. I think it's certainly worth a try. Yeah? Nathaniel, you up for the challenge?
Absolutely.
Dustin, let's try one of the second new rap off the email. If you don't mind.
Well, when do we bring our Rihannas up?
We'll bring them up in a bit. Or do you want to do to that?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what time it is or what we're dealing with.
We're good. Under an umbrella.
No, this is you guys.
Yeah, I like this. Yo. Thank you for coming, my new friend. I like to see you at the railroad's end, here in Atlanta, deep in the south. I fucked your mama in her pussy in her mouth. I like to do things to her deep. I like to fuck your mama, she's for keeps. I fucked your ass, I fucked your face. I fucked your mama, regardless of her race.
Dan Harmon, how dare you? You are such an un-Jew. How dare you come in my face and rap about my mama in her place? You need to go back to community and tell Chevy Chase to fuck off, that stupid bitch. This is vacation, that bitch.
Yo, didn't come here by plane or car, but good to see you've lowered the bar of rapping. You're now crapping. Now anything I do makes me seem like Jay-Z. I don't even have to rhyme. I just have to take it easy. Jay-Z rhymes with easy. I'm Nathaniel.
I'm Dan Harmon. I'm not from L.A. I'm originally from Minneapolis.
I moved
to L.A. Exposure is the best 101 show. How dare they cancel it so quickly? You are the greatest man that I've ever known in my life. D&D isn't Pathfinder. We need to go be a netminder. The NHL just came to town. They left. This is terrible.
He fucking Chris rocked it.
He Chris Rock mic dropped it.
Wow. Probably the least earned mic drop in the... in the history.
Or the most.
I've done some that were pretty unearned. I think the only less earned one was like just a guy working in inventory at the microphone store.
That was absolutely...
Let's tear this place apart!
This episode of Harmontown is brought to you by Fulton and Rourke. Jeff, you're sick of spilling all your colognes all over the place. You hate liquid colognes, is that correct?
It's my nemesis. It's the thing that gives me nightmare dreams all night long.
I can't remember how many times I've walked in on you just covered in sticky, wet cologne.
I have traveled and broken a bottle of the cologne that I wear, and then my luggage smells like a French whorehouse for the rest of time.
Yeah. But Fulton and Rourke is a men's fragrance and grooming company that specializes in solid colognes, shave, and shower products, all designed to make getting ready easier and more enjoyable.
Now, when you say solid colognes, do you mean like solid in the jazz sense? Like, wow, that jazz solo was solid.
You know, I do mean that, but I also mean physically solid as well.
Oh, like a little... like you're talking about a wax-based cologne that travels in a little small package that I can't spill all over my luggage and smell like a Mexican tit house. So these are travel-friendly, wax-based colognes that can go anywhere?
Plus, there's nothing to break or spill, and of course, they all smell fantastic.
Fantastic.
Like a Mexican tit house.
I mean, There's different levels of Mexican tit ass. I mean, there's the high quality ones. There's the ones that you wish you didn't go to.
Right.
Yeah.
Titas Fantasticos.
Is one of their fragrances called Mexican tit ass?
Yeah.
Que Fantástico.
Fulton and Rourke's bar soap is designed to exfoliate the skin with or without a washcloth.
Also, you don't even have to touch it. It comes and does it in the night.
Well, that's amazing. That's literally unbelievable.
Did you know, Spencer, that GQ magazine just named their shave cream the very best on the market today?
Well, yeah, of course I knew that. Why would you ask?
I mean, who am I asking? I mean, this guy, you go to his house, it's like an episode of Hoarders. So many back issues of GQ magazine there.
Right, and I got to tell you, my house is made out of bricks of cologne.
Wax-based cologne, I hope.
Yeah, yeah.
Try it yourself at FultonandRourke.com and save 15% off your purchase by using the code FERAL, F-E-R-A-L, at checkout.
That's FERAL at checkout.
Smell good for once, you fucking bums.
Fulton and Rourke, get your smelling good.
Fulton and Rourke, time to get your stink on.
Off.
Get your bad stink off and get your good stink on.
Fulton and Rourke.
Not by Menon. Different corporation.
By Fulton and Rourke.
That was pretty special.
All right, I'm sure you know we came on a little after five. We're pushing our envelope.
Yeah,
we got to clear the room for the.
We got a little bit of time left.
We'll
I think we should, because I'm very excited. There's a couple towns we're going to on this tour that I love, and we're not going to get to spend any time in, and we actually have a full evening because we're doing an early show. Like, let's all like find me after the show and let's pick the best place to go eat and get fucked up
without breaking into a big
and we're all
fight.
Gonna take our shirts off, you guys. All right.
I mean, the easiest thing would be to determine now that everyone's listening, like where
is there
we
a consensus
go.
On where we should go?
Yeah, I knew that was gonna happen.
Claremont Lounge is a titty bar. We have a winner.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's some of the. I think it's like the Jumbo's Clown Room of Atlanta.
So it's a good, yeah.
It's a titty bar.
Okay.
For old women. Really? It's where strippers go to die.
I think strippers just get up in the morning to die. I don't think they don't need to go to the Temple of Doom or anything.
Let's bring her out, gentlemen. She's got 7 minutes to live.
She's chosen a vocation unapproved by society and yet profited on.
She's on two bottles of Percocet. Let's get her out.
She's a victim of institutionalized sexism. Put your hands together for
Methuselah. Yeah.
Methuselah.
What was yours?
Millennia.
Millennia. Millennia. She's 1,000 tonight. Make her feel special. Her tits are underfoot.
One of the 10% of the strippers to live past her bra size. Stupid, dumb. Edit it out. Trying to connect dots. I'm an idiot.
No, seriously, where are we going? We're not going to a titty bar.
So some place where there's room for everybody to be. Yeah. I don't know. I shouldn't have put it to the room. We'll never agree. There's something. You know, so you're saying the vortex.
Which is where we are. We should just stay
enough.
Here. It's easy, right?
We
can't all get in someone's truck.
We'll certainly do that until everything is. People who want me to sign stuff, not to be presumptuous. I don't think anyone wants anything signed. I'm from Wisconsin. I don't. But if you buy anything, and I think we'll scoot out that door. But and then we'll hang out, and have some drinks, and we'll hang out. Stupid. All right. So now, I mean, what we have?
Let's get the gals back up on stage.
Let's get Rihanna and Dido back up here.
Deanna, what was it? Deanna. Deanna and Jackie. It's so nice. All you have to do is ask, and the girls come up and sing your song. It's so cool.
Well, it's not like the community audience was always like, you get on YouTube and like everybody that watched Community, there's only like 2 million people that watched it, but all of them were better editors than everybody that watched everything else. Like, pretty interesting. I think that I'm doomed to be a lightning rod for a bunch of geniuses. I'm gonna do my farewell Atlanta rap, and it's gonna be fucking intense. What'd you say?
Sherman Town. Oh, yeah.
Boo. I think if I try to every time I try to work a suggestion into it, I just
you're hamstringing yourself by putting too much stuff on you. I guess just speak from the heart, man.
Right. Yeah. I gotta just spit my fire, man. It's gotta be.
You know, because backstage in the green room there's a list of rules of comedy by Bill Hicks, the great late comic. Was he from here?
No,
he was from Texas. And one of them was just like really just like. Just like close your eyes and say something and like just let it all rip. And I broke the first rule on it, or the one he really goes off on. The first thing I said is, "How y'all doing?" He hates when people do that.
Right.
And then Spencer came out and he said, "How y'all doing?" And that's like, you know, when someone doesn't have an opening line, I broke that rule right off the bat. So, you know, I say just,
he'd forgive you.
Huh?
He'd forgive you.
Yeah, he probably would.
Yeah. He probably did it a million times himself. That's how he knew not to do it. All right. This is going
to
be the greatest rap.
I want you to dig deep, Dan.
I want to dig deep.
Like, really, like, reveal something. Even if it's not funny. But then just sharing the, you know, like, the whatever's going on.
Yo. Muscles and bones in my body. I want to have some calamari. It's deep fried squid. I'm so sorry for everything I did. Order a plate of fried fish. Gonna make every woman make a wish and then either grant it or not give it to them. Gonna do it, gonna white glue them with my sperm. I'm so sorry, I'm trying to learn how to rap from the heart. Don't wanna do nothing on this stage, don't wanna lay a fart.
Come on down to Harmontown, turn that frown upside down. Pee is yellow, poop is brown. Come on down to Harmontown.
Yo, I feel Atlanta's mind. I feel everything I was searching for, I'm gonna find. I see people in the crowd looking up at me. Just don't wanna do anything, don't make them drink my pee. Just wanna go to your mama's house, fuck her pussy. Sorry. Let me get my bearings. Sorry, hold on a second.
Dance it out.
Yeah.
Get loose. Get limber.
Railroad, choo-choo, bok-bok. I want to do the chicken Atlanta walk. We're gonna go from the left and right with chicken wings. Gonna do all the Atlanta, Georgia things. I want to have the Falcons beat Seattle. Gonna fuck your mama like her, she was a cattle. Gonna milk all her udders. Gonna apologize to all my sisters, brothers. I wanna tell you I had a good time. So sorry I can't rap, sorry I can't rhyme. All I can do is dance like a baby. I won't bite you, I don't have rabies.
Come on down to Harmontown, turn that frown upside down.
Struggle.
He's yellow, poop is brown. Come on down to Harmontown.
Again.
Come on down to Harmontown. Turn that frown upside down.
Strength.
This yellow poop is brown. Come on down to
Harmontown. Rutabagas, reach for my veggies. I'm so sorry. Hammers are called sledgies. I just decided that. Sledgehammer. An abbreviation for it would be sledgy. Doesn't matter. Let's move on. Go to Home Depot. It's the store that you all know. Its headquarters are in Atlanta. I really respect you guys. That's all that matters. Give me a second. I'm not wrecking it. I'm gonna take a shit. Just miming. Don't worry about it. Wrap it on my face. All over the place. Feel my poop. Feel my pee. Feel me. Reach for me. Feel me, reach your hands up and try to touch me so the documentary looks like I did something cool. Oh, I wish I could touch you. I wish you could touch me. Take it.
Come on down to Harmontown.
Yo,
I
feel it. What's your name?
Daniel.
No, it's not. What's your name?
Shell.
More like Kelly.
What's your name?
Drew.
How do you know when you're finished? Come on down. What do you do for a living? How do you know when you're finished, too? Come on down to Harmontown. Deep south with the pain and the scars. All the airplanes and the railroad cars. Coming through one hub, coming through one place. Making strife for every human being and race. But you gonna rise up, prove everyone wrong. You're gonna sing a motherfucking sing Harmon song. Gonna do it in this laughing skull. I'm gonna go outside and smoke a bowl. I gotta buy a t-shirt on the sidewalk. I fucked your mama like she was a fried wok. Chinese food.
Thank you all for coming to Harmontown, everybody. Jackie, Deanne, Spencer, Aaron McGathy, Nathaniel Metz, all of you lovely, beautiful people, let's all go out to the bar and enjoy ourselves, shall we?
Hang out. God bless you.
The United States government, it is the mission of the National Security Agency to assess and flag citizens of the country who may present a threat to its security. The NSA has clearance to wiretap by any means necessary.
Tapped. Incidental recordings of private conversations from the files of the NSA.
Now on feralaudio.com.